All right. Good evening, everybody. Super good to be with you guys on this beautiful Saturday. Man, I don't know what the weather's like where you guys are watching this from, but today in London, it was an absolutely gorgeous day, perfect day to spend outside. As I studied for assignments and I did my homework, probably less than ideal, but you know, you get the grind never stops, you know?
That's right. That's right.
The grind never stops. So anyways, we love you guys. We appreciate you guys watching with us. We're really excited for tonight's conversation. We are still working our way through the seven things that Jesus said on the cross. We worked through three yesterday. Super powerful, super good. And we're even more excited to work through today's list and those things. So yeah, we'll get right into our conversation. I'll do some announcements at the end of tonight's podcast just in case anything comes up. So I'll get you to pray for us, Pablo.
So welcome everyone who is watching us over the Facebook and Instagram. We love you all. And let's just pray for God to bless this podcast right now. So Father God, we just thank you tonight that your presence has never left us and that you are real like never before in our life, Lord. And I just pray right now that the word that we're going to speak, that is going to come directly from you, Lord, that the revelations and the meditation that we're going to have in your word is going to come as a life-giving word for us for tonight, Lord, that your hope, the hope of your resurrection is going to become alive even more and more in our lives. I just bless everyone who's going to be listening or watching this podcast in the name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome.
All right. Well, for those of you who missed yesterday, we had three really good topics to go through. We had the first three items that Jesus spoke on when he was on the cross.
And so you want to repeat the first three?
Do you want to repeat those?
Yeah. So the first thing what Jesus said at the cross, the first thing what he said, forgive them, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Luke 23:34. This is what Jesus was speaking. He was speaking to the Father of saying, what they are doing to me right now, they don't understand. Because if they would understand who they were crucifying, they would never crucify me. So forgive them for the things that they don't understand. And when they will understand, they would reflect on this. The second thing what Jesus said, that today you will be with me on the paradise. He was speaking to one of the thieves or one of the criminals that was with Jesus on one of the side of the Jesus. And we were talking about that he understood who was Jesus there. And finally he met him and he didn't want even to take a chance to not ask Jesus about his kingdom and get into Jesus's realm. No. And then the third thing, what we were talking yesterday, it's about Jesus and his mother. How Jesus, even though he was dying on the cross, he was still reflecting on his earthly mother, how Jesus had the responsibility as being the eldest son that he needed to be the one who will take care of mom until the death. At that point when Jesus was dying, most likely Mary was already a widow, and Jesus was always preaching about it, you know, taking care of the widows, the orphans, the people who are in need, who are poor, who are going through different struggles in life. So here is Jesus just gives this command to John, his beloved, one of the disciples, or I would say the only one that knew Jesus probably the closest. Yeah. And even John reflects on about himself in the gospel that he wrote about the one that Jesus loved the most. So basically, I'm the favorite.
Yeah.
He was saying, probably not. But anyways, so this was the third thing. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. Man, like for John. And tonight, we're going to start a really powerful thing. The fourth thing, what Jesus said. Now, I don't know how far we're going to get to it. Because even on this, it's kind of, it's deep.
Yeah.
If you can open Matthew 27:46, can you read on New King NIV? And then yeah. I'm going to read on how it's written on TPT. So Matthew 27:46. So if you have your Bibles with you, just open up with us. Matthew 27:46.
Yep. So here we go. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Wow. So why you got forsaken me? And this is how it's written in the Passion Translation. Says, and at 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a mighty voice in Aramaic, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you deserted me?
Hmm.
And this is the thing, you know, like God says that I would never forsake you. I would never forgive you. And why all of a sudden we see Jesus, the Son of God, saying this stuff?
Yeah.
And on some other translation would say like as the Father kind of turned his back to Jesus.
Yeah, that's what my, if you read in Mark, Mark is the translation that typically has turned your back.
Turned your back. What is your kind of opinion on this, Jack? I know I have my understanding, but what would be your reflection on this specific verse?
Like, I have a lot on this verse. So, you know, this is incredibly deep. Can I talk prophetically?
Sure.
About Isaiah? Can we go into that, or do you want to talk about Isaiah?
No, let's go.
So I had an interesting day today of looking into Isaiah 53. I don't think this might be a little embarrassing saying this out loud, but I genuinely don't think I've ever studied or read through Isaiah in my life as a Christian of the many years that I've been, you know, surrounded in the church environment. But you typically see all the references to all the prophecies when you're reading your way through the gospel. But man, reading through Isaiah 53 today absolutely blew my mind.
Wow.
And Pablo made a good comment, and I was like, Pablo, like, I'm looking at this situation and I see Jesus' name riddled throughout this passage. So if it's okay, I'll read Isaiah 53 out of the New King James.
Yeah.
And I'll point out some highlighted verses and stuff like that. And this is going to, if you guys have never read through this chapter of the Bible, it'll blow your mind in relation to crucifixion and Jesus' sufferings and it being a prophetic book, because Isaiah was a prophet, right?
Yeah. So, one of the major prophets.
Yeah. So Isaiah 53 out of the New King James Version says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, which is kind of the key verse there, in relations to, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him.
That's right.
And by his stripes we are healed. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So anyways, it goes on and goes on and goes on. But what I'm really taking away from that is what the Lord laid on him in that time. Surely he is, in verse 4 and 5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted.
Wow.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. I read this verse, my God, why have you turned your back on me, as the epitome and the focal point of Jesus's pain, of Jesus's suffering, you know, the fact that he had an unrecognizable face, that he was so bruised and bloodied and cut up and torn and just broken. And this is the epitome of just his pain. And it's for us to go back and to realize what that That's pain right. was. It wasn't, you know, he had the human pain, and because he was 100% human, he had all those physical things that I just mentioned, but because he was also 100% God, he had taken on all of those transgressions
That's
that I
right.
just read about. And for me, this is so much more powerful after reading Isaiah, because I can't even begin to understand the amount of pain that my Lord, my Savior, the one who I need to be washing his feet, the one who I need to be pursuing, the one who I want to be like, who took all of that pain and all that burden for somebody as low as me, for
wow.
somebody as irrelevant as me, for some Praise speck God. In time. If you look at our lives in the view of the entire history of man, we are, think about it, you can be the greatest man alive, you can be a president, you can be a billionaire, But in the grand scheme of things, we are from dust and we are to dust. And the fact that my Lord and Savior would take that amount of pain, it's a difficult verse to read, you know, because Jesus obviously in this moment hadn't turned his back. Well, Jesus, like the Lord had turned his back because he had to take that pain. He had to take that suffering. So it's super difficult. So I love this passage. And it's cool also looking at historically at the book of Isaiah, because, you know, prophecy is a cool thing. I don't know if you guys in your personal church are big into prophecy or practice a lot of that spiritual gift. But I remember Pastor Jamie would talk about, you know, there can be a prophecy or there can be a prayer that we have for 14, 20 years. Like, that's a long time. But this is a prophecy that was made 740 years before Jesus was even born.
Wow.
Right? Incredible how, you know, that stuff was called upon Jesus and, you know, just a perfect match of who our Lord and Savior was.
Amen. You know, one of my things and what comes to me, like, as soon as hearing that word or listening this and reading, it says that Jesus felt that the Father kind of did not see him anymore. And the reason for it, if it goes back, like if you remember, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is praying to the Father. He's saying, Father, let this cup pass over me, like that I would not partake of this cup. And again, if you were tuning on Thursday night when we had the Passover communion, this is one of the things that when Jesus is dying on the cross, he is drinking the cup of iniquity. He is drinking the cup of the sin. Church, like, think this way. The whole world, actually the nature itself, the sun, the moon, everything, it stopped shining. The whole world was, it says, that it was covered with darkness for 3 hours. So the time on the cross when Jesus is hanging there for those 3 hours, him hanging on the cross, everything became dark. Everything what we know about the light, it just stopped. And the reason for that, because even God the Father could not look at his Son. Yeah. Because at that very moment when Jesus said, Father, Father, why you left me? Or why you're like, this is the very first time ever happening that the Father, God, was separated from his Son, Jesus. And never again will be done the same way. But that very moment, and the reason for that, because Jesus was taking the sin of the whole humanity. Now Jesus was covered with sin.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible says, that because of the sin, remember, because of the sin, Adam and Eve, they were taken away from the presence of God. God said, I cannot even look at you if there is not a sacrifice done.
Yeah.
And this is what really is happening with Jesus. Like, Jesus saying, God, like, at that very moment, he felt that the presence of God was not there around him anymore. Yeah. Because he was just carrying all the sin, all iniquity, all wickedness of this whole world. He was just carrying it. And that's what he shouted. He shouted and said, Father, I just need you at this moment, but I don't have you. And a lot of us, this is the thing, a lot of us, we might have those moments in our life when we feel so far away from God. But you have to remember this thing. Tomorrow we are celebrating Jesus' resurrection. And the reason for that, the reason from that never again God will be so far away from his people, for his creation. God is always going to remain. Why? Because Jesus brought the victory in the cross.
Yeah.
When Jesus is shouting that to God, what he is actually saying, that this is the very moment of my life right now that you have sent me to this earth.
Yeah.
To feel the heaviness of all the wickedness, to feel the heaviness of all the sin. And from now on, God himself felt what is all that wickedness to have it. Awesome. So the next thing, the fifth thing, and if you want to open John 19:28, We'll read them. John 19:28. Yep. I love John.
Yeah, John 19:28 in the Passion Translation says, Jesus knew that his mission was accomplished, and to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, I am thirsty.
And then keep going, 29 and 30.
A jar of sour wine was sitting nearby, so they soaked a sponge with it and put it on the stalk of hyssop and raised it to his lips. When he had sipped the sour wine, and he said, it is finished, my bride, which is the next thing that he said. But we'll just focus on I'm thirsty right now.
I'm thirsty. So this is the thing. What was happening with Jesus and anything, and it always stays there.
Yep.
This is what Jesus says. I'm thirsty. And this is what I feel like. He was thirsty for the justice for all that sin that was done.
Yeah.
But not on a sense thirsty for justice. Okay, God, can you do your justice? But God, can you reveal your heart against all this, sin and wickedness? And this is the thing. The heart of God, it's not about justice, but it's about kindness and mercy. So what Jesus was saying, I'm thirsty. I want to feel the bitterness of all this stuff. So they gave him to drink the bitterness of this whole world. And that's what it says afterwards. Like if you read in the Bible, it says like, taste me, says the Lord, and you will find how sweet I am. So that was a comparison that what we can do as humans that are far away from God and who live in sin and, you know, with our sinful nature, what we only can give to the God, to the Father, we can only give him the bitterness of our life, the bitterness of our sins, the bitterness of our separation with him. But Jesus says, but here is, taste me. I am sweet. I am delightful. You will delight in me. You will have a feast in me.
Mm.
And this is the thing, like what comes to me talking about feast is that God sets up feast in the middle of the, in the table that you're surrounded with your enemies and they cannot eat, but you're eating and munching right in front of them.
Yeah.
The fountain of living water, it was thirsting for your friendship. This is what Jesus was thirsting for. He was thirsting for your friendship. He is the one. Remember when he speaks to the Samaritan woman on John chapter 4, he says, if you would know who is right now in front of you, you would ask me for the water. And now Jesus is thirsting right on the cross. He is thirsty to see that relationship back, to see that friendship. And he's like, this is going to be the end. And the next thing he says, it is finished. So first he is thirsting for this relationship. And now he says, it's finished. This relationship can be done now. Now you have an access to this relationship. You have access to the living water that is flowing from inside of me and it's flowing into you. And when it flows into you, you start flowing and fountains or like you just start like this big sprinkler, you know, just giving the water. But this is what was everything spoken on the cross. It seems like seven sayings, but they are deep. They have significance. They all go back to what Jesus was preaching and teaching for 3.5 years. It is finished. Jesus has finished his work for the salvation of the humanity.
Yeah.
It is finished. There is nothing else needed to be done for your and my salvation.
Yeah.
There is no need of any more sacrifice of animals. There is not any more needed blood to be shed for covering the sins, because the blood that has been shedding at that very moment was enough to forgive, not only to cover, but to forgive all the sins, to give life to the places where we was dead. You know, like, this is amazing, you know, like, I just loving it. And then the last thing, if you have anything to add right now, before I go to the last.
No, I was like, I was going to make a comment quickly on I am thirsty and how Jesus said that. I think we can pull that away from what Pablo is saying about saying I am thirsty, but also like it truly just like he, so if you study the Bible, it only says Jesus only says, I am thirsty one other time when he's at the well with the Samaritan woman.
That's right.
Just indicating that he's human. But, you know, it indicates once more his pain and his suffering, but also just his humanity, right? That That's he right. was somebody who, like, even on the cross, he's not this holy God who is, like, he is, but he was 100% man in that moment who was bearing the iniquities of a billion, 100 billion people, right? So,
and this is the beauty of that, you know, that because Jesus in the earth, when he was walking in the midst of the earth, he is walking 100% human.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to forget that he was, and he was doing everything as human. And that's the fascinating part, that he was not creating nothing as God. He was doing that as human under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In the frame of the gifts of Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So you and I have that
same power, that exactly. same anointing, that and, same.
And we have that authority to do those things.
Yeah.
Because again, Satan was trying to trick him and said, oh, well, tell this stone to become bread.
Yeah.
And Jesus was like, no, like, you, why are you trying for me to act as God right now? If I am on my human body, I have to be acting as human.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say, you know, like, well, I'm going through a time where, you know, financial struggles. Listen, Jesus went through financial struggles.
Yeah.
When we say, well, you know, I live in this life and so many people, you know, kind of betrayed me. So many people hurt me. I lose the, you know, hope in humanity.
Yeah.
Well, so Jesus was too.
Yeah. I think because we see Jesus as only as a God and instead of just a man, we associate the word perfection and we associate the word perfect with without any struggles, right? Yeah. Jesus still had all those struggles. I'm sure that Jesus, like, you know, Jesus definitely experienced deep sadness and deep pain. He definitely, like, he most likely had anxiety about situations, you know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane looking forward to what was going to come. That's anxiety to a T. That's fearing something that's coming in the future, right? And cool. deep sadness and loss. And
it's going through such a intense stress.
Yeah.
Think about it. That, like, his blood vessels in his head and everything, like, they just blew, and because of the stress, like, I don't even know if any one of us went through agony like that, you know, like, that humanly impossible. That's why when he is about there to pass out, God sends actually his angels to serve him, because again, Apostle Paul is writing, he says that Jesus remained faithful to the death and the death of the cross. Like, some of the, you know, scholars and the scientists, they would say that actually what Jesus was living in the Garden of Gethsemane, even on the moment he was thinking what about to happen the next day, that was like a clinical death or something like that, that he's, like, his body went through such a stress even before the beating.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, the amazing part, that knowing that Jesus went through all that stuff as human, it just changes the perspective. Listen, it changes my perspective of the situation, what I'm living in, and the problems I'm living, you know. Yeah. Well, somebody betrayed me. Yeah, Jesus got betrayed too.
Oh, that's good,
And twice in the same night.
Yeah.
From the people that he spent 3.5 years, they were eating from the same plate.
Yeah.
They were sharing everything.
Yeah.
Jesus got betrayed by two of his close disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that was always like, you know what? Peter was like, oh, everybody will betray you, but not me. It's like, and he became the biggest liar of all, that he betrayed Jesus because he boasted his humanity. Well, I can do it. And Jesus like, no, man, you don't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
But this is to encourage, like, the reason why Peter acted that way, because he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him.
That's right.
But you and I, we have Holy Spirit that gives us the strength, that the same Holy Spirit that descended on Jesus and on his baptism, the same Holy Spirit, it dwells in you. The same Holy Spirit gives the salvation. The same Holy Spirit descended upon the church on the day of Pentecost. And that's what Jesus says. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that this power will seize you.
Yeah.
Without that power, without the Holy Spirit, there is no way you can be faithful to God. There is no way you can remain clean. There is no way you can overcome sin. There is no way that you can overcome temptation without the Holy Spirit. Because us and our human bodies and our sinful human bodies, mm-hmm. we cannot even go through this stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe the seventh thing we'll leave for Tuesday, because I know it's going to be deep as well. And this is the thing, church. We have to remember that Jesus done all these things because he was looking for the moment when you and I will accept his sacrifice.
Yeah.
Tomorrow as you listen the message in 2 Corinthians, it says that the favor of God, it's today. That favor of God, it's today. It hit me really, really strongly about the favor of God. And I just want to leave this. I don't know for who is right now, but I know it's for someone. And it says, now is the time to respond to his favor. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Now is the day of salvation. Wow. So that's what was happening right at that very moment when he says it is finished.
Yeah.
Now is the time that I respond to the favor of God, and I'm giving you his favor, and it's your salvation. Wow. God bless you, church. God bless you, listeners. God bless you all that are following us. We love you all. Remember this. This is the best time in our lives that we are living right now. This is the best moments that we are living, because we are reflecting in his word. We are getting strong in his word. This is the best time that you could possibly ever live, because today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know, just on that exact same note, just to empower you guys, you know, my former pastor in Guelph, Todd Cantillon, give a quick shout out to him. You know, that man,
praise God.
You know, he finished every sermon by letting us know, today is the best day of your life. Today is another day that Jesus has granted you, that God has granted you to go out and to be a light into the world. Today is 100%, no matter what you're going through. Today's a new day, and today, right now, no matter what you're going through, because the joy of the Lord is not affected by your circumstances. No. Today is the best day of your life. I guarantee it.
That's right.
It's another day that we can praise God. There are always things we can look to praise God for. And we are praising God, me and Pavlo, as we reflect back on all this time of live streaming that we've had together.
That's right.
We're blessing him and thanking him for you guys for tuning in, and for you guys for listening. We love you guys. And just as Pablo was saying, we bless you guys.
We're
praying for you guys. We love spending 9 p.m. with you guys. And we hope that you guys are getting the same kind of love and the same kind of feelings back.
That's not just
one way. So
God bless you. May his blessings will be upon you and your children and your children's children. May his protection be over you. May his angels be guarding you overnight. May his word dwell in you. May his word bring fruit forth, that fruit of Holy Spirit. May his love will overflow in your life. God bless you. We love you. See you tomorrow at 5 p.m.